Welcome to the Blackbird Reading Series, created alongside the Blackbird Anthology from the Seamus Heaney Centre at Queen's University Belfast. This series was produced and edited by Susie Bloom and recorded by Georgios Veroutsos. Please enjoy.
School Days by Clara Watson. It was the same every day. No one wanted to be asked. No one dared move. We stared, steely, like children caught in the headlights, not wanting to look, not wanting to look away. Exuding calm on the surface, burrowing frantically below. On the inside, each of us was fervently praying to God that she would ask anyone else. The only movement was the shaking limb of the child to my right, thumping loudly with the back foot on the floor, warning the others, "There is danger." I willed her to sit still. She was too revealing. An age passed as the hunter stalked the room. Heads down, eyes fixed, not wanting to see or be seen. Click, click, silence. Click, click, silence. Pursuing. Subsequently, her voice, "You!" shooting through the still. Relief for a split second. Dashed by the nudge of an elbow, my gaze raised on the glowering predator. In a room full? Why me? I prodded my chest, querying incredulously. Me? Does it look like I'm asking anyone else? Wincing as the metal chair leg scraped against the floor, I stood. The voice within rallies, "You can do this." But the voice outside betrays me with a squeak. A false start. Heat traveling from my neck to my face. I could feel it red. "Is there anybody there?" she sneered, prompting me with the first line of the poem I'd been trying to memorize. A deep breath, and I began rattling my second start. "Is there anybody there?" said the traveler, knocking on the moonlit door. As his horse in the silence champed the grasses of the forest ferny floor, a bird flew up out of the turret. The words tumbled out, all on their own, imprinted on my brain, even though I had no understanding of what they meant. But no one descended to the traveller, no head from the leaf-fringed sill, leaned over and looked into his grey eyes, where he stood perplexed and still. I was going well, feeling more assured. Dad was right, I could do this. And he felt in his heart their strangeness, their stillness answering his cry, while his horse champed the grasses of the forest's ferny floor. A bird flew up. "Stop!" Shot in mid-flow. Bang! The ruler against the desk. "Haven't you already said that?" over-enunciated. Petrified, my stony brain couldn't understand. Confusion taken over. What had I said? Trying to recall my last words. Had I written it down wrong? Had I learnt the wrong lines? Or had I said the wrong thing? "Well?" Did she want me to answer her? Should I say something? I could feel myself shaking. I glanced around the room for answers in the other's eyes. Empty. What was I supposed to do? "Bring up your book." Her voice was quiet and calm. Oh God. Breath suspended. Clambering out from behind my desk, I weaved through rows of burning eyes, book in hand. Rancorous red nails snatched it from me with disdain. Studying the words on the page, she transitioned before our very eyes. Smudged mouth upturning, furrows set, eyes squinted and threatening, wild flaring nostrils distorted her whole face. A rutted fury awakening and travelling through her. And here she was, the monster I had imagined. Hoisting the book high in the air, and with fervent force, she flung it straight for me. An instant sting as it whacked against my arm and thudded on the floor next to her desk. The throbbing began. "Pick it up," she hollered. The room flinched.